Welcome to the United Parents of Culver City podcast number 2.
How did you like that music, Scott?
It makes me want to speak in a deeper, more sultry voice, Mr. Kicken.
That is some smooth jazz.
You are joining Scott McVarish and
Scott Kicken.
We are two representatives on the Political Action Committee of the United Parents of Culver City. Welcome. In today's broadcast, we're going to talk about some news with United Parents of Culver City.
Then we're going to talk about two propositions that are on the ballot for the November election, Proposition 30 and Proposition 38.
We're going to discuss some of the best practices we see for parents who are supporting those propositions can take in the next month before the election is over.
Then we're going to go to an interview with our superintendent, David LaRose.
You won't believe some of the things he told us, so you'll need to listen to the whole podcast to hear them. Then we're going to talk about some best practices about getting your kids to school.
And finally, we're going to hear from you some feedback from our United Parents members.
So a little bit of everything for the activist parent, for the person who wants to help start a parent union, and for the people who just want to make things better in our schools. UPCC News. Scott, what just happened last week?
Well, I had my birthday, if
That's
you remember.
Right. That's right. We talked a lot about that on our first podcast, as I recall.
And I turned 32, but...
Excellent. I remember your last 32-year-old birthday 10 years ago.
But more importantly, we did have a first representative council meeting on the past Saturday, September 29th. Representatives from every school in the district, from all the elementary schools, the middle school, and the high school.
Yes, kudos to everybody who came out on a Saturday night. We had some invigorating discussion, and I think we're learning that it's not easy to come to consensus as to what are the next steps. But when you have good people who care about the schools and whose priority is simply to do what's best for the kids, that you work through those issues and you finally come to some type of agreement on what we should be doing next.
And if you haven't already, think about becoming a member of United Parents. You can join us at unitedparentsculvercity.com. And if you would like to be a representative, you just need to find 4 other parents that will support you and make sure that they are members as well. We will be having elections later this year to have representatives for the 2013 school year.
So we are a very democratic organization. For every 5 members at your school gets a rep. That's how the people were decided upon to join our rep council that came on Saturday night. Excellent reps. They did a great job, and we look forward to working with them in the future. And what was the number one thing we decided to work on in the next 6 weeks, Mr. Kicken?
Well, our number one priority right now is voting yes on Prop 30 and voting yes on Prop 38. And we have decided to join with the PTA in running a campaign for those propositions over the next 4 weeks.
That's right. And we're very excited to work with our local PTA. They are amongst the best activists, most dedicated parents that you will find anywhere. So it is great to work with them. We hope we're bringing a level of political sophistication that they can appreciate, and they are certainly bringing the energy and the drive that we so admire. We're going to be working together, and I think you're going to find a more powerful campaign for Prop 30 and 38 than you would normally find on state ballot initiatives. What do you think, Scott?
I think you're right. I think we're doing something very innovative. We're bringing the 21st century to Culver City, and this is a tool that anyone can use, any parents group can use to organize for campaigns. It is software that we will be using that will integrate with your social networking like Facebook. And this will allow you to connect with your friends and call them and email them to get them to support you for, in our case, Prop 30 and Prop 38.
What we're going to be asking our volunteers in this campaign to do, whether you're a UPCC volunteer or a PTA volunteer, what we're going to be asking you to do is to email us at PAC@UnitedParentsCulverCity.com. And we will give you the instructions. Basically, you're going to sign in. It'll automatically find all of the Culver City voters in your Facebook friends group. And it will give you a script. and you will just call them. And as you call them, they'll be taken off the list. So they'll only get one call from us, and you are going to make sure they vote on November 6th, if not before.
And it's very sophisticated, and it's very easy to use. This is something you can do in your spare time. You can do this in 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes every other day. It's something that is very simple. Again, email us at pac@unitedparentsculvercity.com for instructions on how to join this campaign.
But Scott, this is a huge campaign for our schools. The state has taken away billions of dollars from our schools over the last few years, and these propositions will basically get that money back for us and hopefully a little bit more. So I would imagine that every single parent is going to be voting yes for Prop 30 and 38. But we have a problem with parents voting, don't we, Scott?
We do. In fact, in our last election, only 10% of parents in Culver City voted.
Are you telling me that at the last election for school board, only 10% of the parents in Culver City voted?
Sad to say, that's true.
How do we get people to vote, Mr. Kekin?
We get them to vote by speaking to them face-to-face, on the telephone, through an email. Your friends, your Facebook friends, they know you, they trust you, they will take your advice.
That's right. The most effective way to get people to vote is to talk to them. And the most effective people to get them to vote are their friends and their family. So that's the advantage that we have in the United Parents of Culver City. We are 10,000 voter parents strong in Culver City, yet only 1,000 voted the last election. But that was before the United Parents of Culver City, wasn't it, Scott?
We're going to be there to change that. We're going to get more parents out there to vote. We want to see another 1,000, another 2,000 parents voting in November. Are you registered to vote?
That's right.
And how do they find out if they're registered to vote?
They go to canivote.org.
And that is a new online voter registration site that you can register to vote in California online. You have to do it before October 22nd.
Go there, see if you're registered. Approximately 25% of the parents in Culver City are not registered to vote in Culver City. That's right, 25%. People, billions of dollars are at stake for your schools. Sometimes these elections win or lose based on a few thousand votes. Let's make sure we do everything we can in Culver City to make these things pass for our children.
I couldn't have said it better. So on that note, let's go to our interview with Superintendent David LaRose.
We're very pleased to be with Superintendent David LaRose. He is now in his second month here at Culver City Unified School District, and we're very fortunate to have him here on our podcast. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
David, our first question for you today is, what do you think are the top assets we have for our Culver City schools?
Well, where do I start? I've had a great opportunity to transition into this great school system and focus primarily on relationships, so connecting with our primary asset, which are all of us. It's the people and the community that makes up this school district that starts with our moms and dads and our kids, great staff, I think a great district office, and a highly committed board. I think one of the greatest assets is the common bond and the common area of focus that I see across all of those groups. Very, very committed to children, very committed to the success of all children, committed to the whole child, so not only academic rigor and relevance, but also relationships, multiple pathways, the arts, career orientation, and just the multitude of partnerships that might be from parent groups, PTAs, boosters, but also Sony, some of the industries that have clearly invested in this community. I think one of the other great assets is the size of the community. To be in and near the heart of Los Angeles, California, and to have a school system that has 5 elementary schools, 1 middle school, 1 high school, a continuing school, and an adult school, allows for it to be intimate, for it to be a lot more personal, allows for advocacy around kids to have an impact in a timely way. So ultimately, the greatest asset is everyone's shared conviction around doing everything that we can to take care of our kids.
So with assets and strengths like that, it would seem like we could overcome any challenge we have. What are those challenges you see, particularly around the budget in the next year or two?
The budget. I've certainly had experience talking about that topic and that challenge. Unfortunately, I think all of us have been a part of many conversations that start with, in this economy, so education certainly has been impacted by that dramatically. Fiscally, we're facing dramatic cuts. We all know that the November election will have our citizens weigh in on a very important decision. So whether we're in a situation to work together collaboratively around how do we continue to reinvest, sustain, and rebuild those programs that have gone away because the election goes in one positive direction, or we'll be sitting down and even in the midst of this year having to cut over $3 million. So
you're referring to Prop 30 and 38?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So that's a short-term and immediate, and I think that that's been ongoing. How do we continue to harness those assets that I referenced in my first answer to focus on success for every single child when and sometimes the needs in this economy of our children are increasing while the resources to meet those needs are decreasing? So it's staying focused on children and teaching and learning in spite of reduced resources and then some of the complications that come with legislative decisions that I think in some respects are short-sighted and narrow-minded and disrupt what we do so well on a daily basis.
So if Prop 30 or 38 or both pass and we've got some of the budget items taken care of, what do you see as our challenges at that point?
Well, it's a good challenge, but it is a challenge in that what are our priorities? What are the student-centered needs that we have, and what are the student-centered goals that we have? Because I think that if you're in a situation when you have resources to invest, that can be as much of a challenge as saying you're losing resources, and because I think the lens of priorities is different depending upon the individual or the group. Or the interest that's being brought forth. So I think it's making sure that we have a process and a protocol to really do a self-assessment and an audit. What are we doing very well, and what could we do better if we were to invest more? And when I talk about investing, you know, that's resources, not just dollars. So it could be people, it can be programs, it could be capital projects to enhance what we're doing. But also, what are some current needs that we're not meeting, that we haven't been able to invest in? And I think being such a people-centered business, our primary investments are those dollars and resources that can impact the most amount of children on a daily basis, and that's the big boys and girls in the organization as well. So do we have adequate staffing? Have we provided the professional development? Are we in a position to recruit and train and sustain the best and the brightest that we allow to work with our kids on a daily basis? So making sure that we had a process and a protocol that says we're needs-based and that we're vision-based as we look at making new investments.
I like that student-centered approach. It sounds like a very great overall vision for Culver City. How would you measure and evaluate some of these goals that you have for Culver City School District?
Another way of saying it
uh-huh. is how will we know that you're a success after 2 or 3 years?
I think it would be directly correlated to how we know and if we know that our children are success. And I think it's having a definition of success that we all embrace, not a definition of success that's placed on us by legislative decisions or the perception of the outcome of one basic assessment. I think that that's a critical indicator of basic learning, but I think the success and the performance not only of our students while they're with us, but I think a great measure of our success and our impact and our influence is what children and students and young adults do after they leave us. So in terms of outcomes for kids, certainly their academic performance, but in terms of a systems perspective, have we created a system that provides unlimited pathways to meet the needs of all students? Because I think success is the destination for every single child, and every single one of them are capable of attaining that success. But I think the pathway and the means towards that end are different. And I think from a dad's perspective, I would define success for my child as that my child is safe, that they are healthy, that they are cared for, that they are connected, that they are challenged, and that they are hopeful. And that obviously involves a key component of academic performance and rigor that opens doors for students, but we also need to provide students with pathways for their success, career orientation, CTE, the arts, athletics, student leadership, multiple partnerships that are providing opportunities for students in terms of their career readiness and internships and apprenticeships. And so creating students who not only learn but have developed a passion to apply what they've learned. So students that will be leaving our schools and can articulate what their future is in optimistic terms, something that they're excited about, that they're passionate about, and they believe that they can make it happen. If a high percentage of our kids are doing that and saying that, then I will believe that I've had a positive influence.
So what are your impressions so far of the United Parents of Culver City?
Well, I'm excited about this group, although I've not yet received one of their many T-shirts with because they've got a pretty cool logo. So I don't know why I haven't gotten, I think as the students would call it, any UPCC swag. But when we first sat down at our first meeting, one of you and ultimately all of you articulated how you were a union for the child's voice, in that so many decisions are made by so many different groups of advocacy, and all incredibly well-intended. I firmly believe that. Anyone in any organization that's associated with the work that we do in education, it is because they care, and it is because of what they're passionate about. But ensuring that there is a deeply invested, knowledgeable body that will look at all issues and topics through the lens of a child, I think is powerful. And I think that that's a voice that sometimes is absent from Sacramento, sometimes is absent from even the decisions that we make in local school districts. So to know that there will be a body to say, and how will this impact the child, will empower us and hold us accountable to make sure that we ask ourselves the same question.
Great, thank you. On that note, how could United Parents of Culver City best help you in the school district?
I think it's tied to the first word in the name of your organization. It's United. What I enjoy about getting together with the group is the interests are systems-wide, and they're community-based, and that they're about what are the things that we want to and need to advocate for to ensure that every single school, every single child in every single school would benefit from this. Every parent, every school-based environment would reap the rewards of this work that we're doing. So ensuring that our focus is on what is it that we're affording and advocating for that can benefit the greater good. So I think that advocacy is important, really focusing on, I think the PTA's platform has been CCUSD, and the U and the S spells us, and a family of schools. So I think that's a critical role, continuing to have that lens, not how are we different, but how are we the same, not how this group of children should have this opportunity, but every single child should have all the opportunities. And really, those opportunities need to be tied to their needs. So I think advocacy that's needs-based, not just wants-based, or this sounds cool, or this is a new trend, or here's a new buzzword, but what are the needs of our population? Help us articulate to the community, who are our kids, and what are their great strengths, and what are their hopes and their aspirations, and what are the things that we're providing which will help us point out the things that maybe we're not. What population are we not serving as best as we can? And feel empowered to not say we're going to divide everything by this amount, but where is that need? And let's make sure that we address that need. So I think that that's one area. And then I think also information and education to help increase awareness around those topics that do impact our students, or if they don't right now, they will in the long run. So I think helping our community, our elected officials, our parents recognize and connect the dots to things that are at the forefront and how that might impact what we try to do in terms of teaching and learning every day.
Well, I have to say that was a very compelling interview.
Yes, the superintendent is very open with his time, with his thoughts, and he sure is working hard for our district.
Well, next on the list, we're going to talk about a best practice.
That's right, our 60-second feature. Ready, go!
Okay, so do you have problems getting your kids to school in the morning? Do you have problems finding a parking space? Well, we have some solutions for you.
That's right. At our school, El Marino, or at my school, I should say, we have a parent drop-off, and that is a group of people who volunteer every single morning, different groups at different times, and you just slowly move your car. Ideally, you stop it, and then someone comes, opens the door. So they get kids out very fast. Kudos to them. It can be organized. Email us if you want some tips on how to organize that. Any school can have that type of drop-off so parents don't have to search for parking. What else do we have?
We also have a program called Safe Routes to School. And today was National Walk to School Day, and every school participated with kids walking to school.
Well, my daughter rode her bike, and her friends went on scooters. So absolutely, a lot of fun, a great way to start getting our kids using their own energy to get to school. We hope you join, and that's the 1 minute bell.
That is the 1 minute bell. Please email us at podcast@unitedparentsconversity.com if you would like more information about morning drop-offs or safe routes to school.
All right, now our final feature, the feedback. This is where we go into our grab bag of emails or responses or conversations at the school corner.
And Scott, you just mentioned before this interview that you had something to share about a conversation you had with a parent at your school.
That's right. One of my favorite parents, in fact, a good friend of mine, said, "You know what, Scott, I'm so glad you've created this group because finally we have a counterweight to the teachers' union." And let me just tell you, folks, I set that person straight. I said, "Well, with all due respect, I don't see us as being a counterweight to the teachers' union. I love teachers. I see us as being the counterweight to the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association."
Who was Howard Jarvis, Scott?
Howard Jarvis was a cranky old man many years ago who made our taxes not rise to the level necessary to support our schools.
Now, wait a second. Is this the person that was responsible for Prop 13?
That's right. He did Prop 13, which had some great parts to it, but the terrible parts of it have left our schools high and dry. We don't have enough funds. So it's the taxpayer groups who don't want to pay for schools as I see as our main adversaries. The teachers union, thank God for teachers. They have the right to be in a collective group. Sometimes that collective power is an obstacle to education reform, but by no stretch of the imagination can they be considered enemy number one of education.
And they are our partners.
That's right.
We need to work with them, and we support them on 99.9% of the issues.
I don't know if that's the correct percentage, but absolute majority, without a doubt. In fact, a couple of our reps are teachers, one in this school district and another in another school district. We love our teachers here, both in UPCC and in Culver City. If you're starting your own parent union, I hope you do so with the cooperation of some teachers. And remember, the number one threat to public education is lack of money to pay people to work in public education. So with that,
let's cue the music. Thank you for joining us. This is podcast number 2 for United Parents of Culver City, and we hope you join us in the near future.
For more information, unitedparentsculvercity.com. Thank you very much.